from KQED.
Welcome to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. From President Trump's proposed wall to the most recent migrant caravan in Tijuana, the U.S.-Mexico border has become a symbol of political conflict. And just today, the president vowed to shut down the government if he doesn't get funding for the wall, as he openly argued with Democratic leaders Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer during a tense meeting in the Oval Office. However, for firefighters and EMTs working in border communities, the region is often a site of binational cooperation. Harvard anthropologist Eva Yesenita has been embedded with American and Mexican first responders and learned how battles over immigration policy are having an impact on their work and their understanding of border security. She will join us in this segment to discuss her new book, Threshold: Emergency Responders on the U.S.-Mexico Border. And we're also going to be joined by Fire Chief Mario Novoa, who is Arizona Douglas's Fire Department chief. And he's worked with her and worked during times the chief's been on the border. And let me first welcome you, Chief Novoa. Good to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And this is really remarkable in terms of what we see in the way of tensions and conflicts at the border, that you can actually have this kind of cooperation. I know it works very different in many respects when you're going from the north to the south and from the south to the north. But give us some idea of how, like, for example, when you have a fire, how you work together, how you actually come together.
Actually, we've been working together. I've actually joined the program back in 2000, and if I could give a little bit of a history on this, this program known as the Border 2020 program, believe it or not, started with Republican President Ronald Reagan, and he signed it back in 1984 with President La Madrid. Actually, 83, but it went into effect in 84 with President La Madrid in Baja California in this town known as La Paz. So it's known as the La Paz Agreement, which thereby means the peace agreement. And this agreement was actually collaborated together to go ahead and help each other in major incidents on our, especially Region 9 for us, but on our border communities, California, Arizona, and New Mexico, and Texas, I should say also. Unfortunately, of course, we're Region 9, so us, we end here in Arizona to the Pacific Ocean, and then Region 6 is New Mexico and Texas for their border response. We have the most active border response in the nation as far as collaboration efforts are concerned. We work very closely with our counterparts in northern Sonora because this isn't just for the whole country, if you will. It only encompasses 100 kilometers on both sides of our border. So people think that we just give aid to Mexico. That is not the case. The case is if we have a major earthquake or anything else that southern Arizona or southern California have to deal with, we can also rely on our counterparts from northern Mexico to help and give us aid if need be on an immediate response, if you will, because they're right across the border.
And we should mention you grew up in this border community. I think your family goes back even a century. Technology in the new century we live in helps a great deal here. You have the WhatsApp among all these fire chiefs. Tell us about that.
As a matter of fact, one of my our new coordinator, actually for Jerry Romo for Border 2020 from Douglas, also he actually went ahead and got into the WhatsApp app, if you will, and this app actually is coordinated between all fire chiefs in Southern Arizona and Northern Sonora. We still have some other fire chiefs that we're coordinating with in Arizona, of course, but North Sonora is all in tune. So if there is a rollover, let's say for hazardous materials on a tanker on a highway close to the U.S.-Mexico border on the Mexican side, we can know immediately or through modern communication, find out immediately what type of a substance was actually in the truck, who's affected, what type of breach it is, what the population is around that area, and, of course, what is being done to actually mitigate that problem and if they're requesting international response.
Again,
and that's something that we've never had before. That's about maybe a year old. And believe it or not, it's working tremendously well for us.
Well, I can believe it from what I've read. And kudos to you and the others on that. Mario Novoa, again, with us, Fire Chief Douglas Fire Department in Arizona. And let's get Yeva Yesenita. We'll say hello to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
She's an assistant professor of anthropology and social studies at Harvard, also the author of Threshold Emergency Responders on the U.S.-Mexico Border. And you have seen a lot of this cooperation, this binational cooperation in action, because I know you've been embedded there, not only with firefighters, but with EMT, emergency medical training technicians, excuse me. And what, just like a general observation of how this works from your perspective, I mean, the cooperation and what's accounted for it?
Well, the biggest question for me was really how do we understand security? What I learned is that the safety of communities along the border very much depend on these binational partnerships and mutual aid agreements that the chief was describing, on shuttling water back and forth in situations of fire, sharing knowledge and equipment and other resources. So it is really a shared ecological space, but also a shared political, social, and cultural environment in which working together is really what creates security, as opposed to this other idea where we think that the border is some form of containment or of separation, as if on the other side of the ever taller walls that we build, there'd be dragons. And it's a very counterproductive approach. Evidence shows that building fences and walls and militarizing the border and fortifying it does not deliver what it is politically marketed for. Drugs and people merely go around, are rerouted, but it does exacerbate environmental emergencies, the wildfires and floods and air pollution that the EPA and this Border 2020 framework that Chief Maloa was talking about is really trying to look at it from a different perspective of what really security means.
But you also have these emergency responders and people falling off trying to get under or over the fences and the walls that are there, broken limbs and mutilations, starving, dehydration. In fact, many of them just wind up, unfortunately, really seriously injured and mortally injured. And in fact, I was reading about a case that you were involved in where somebody fell off 24 feet and was injured. It was really poignant because they had to be taken by helicopter to a trauma center in Tucson. Both legs were broken, and this young woman was worried about her shoes because she had to walk to try to get over the border.
Yes, that was my very first time of responding to the border and finding an injured person there. It was a young Mexican woman about my own age, and as you say, she had bilateral open ankle fractures. But this is not, I very soon realized it's not an exception, that these are patterns of injuries. Emergency responders refer to the cement ledge that abuts the international border as ankle alley because of how many leg injuries they've seen there, but also spinal injuries and head trauma, multi-system trauma. And these injuries have actually changed with the design of the border fence. Because in the 1990s and early 2000s, the fence was not as tall. It was 8 to 12 feet tall. It was made from the landing mats, the same construction materials that were used for to land aircraft during the Vietnam War, and they have very sharp edges. So people who were trying to scale back in those days often got the large gashes and got their fingers amputated. So the taller you build the fence, it only changes the types of injuries. It doesn't do anything to really address the root causes of why these people are trying to come. And a lot of people who are not going through the urban areas, they are rerouted through the desert or trying to cross the river in less populated areas where exposure, especially to very high temperatures and dehydration, become the major causes of injury, long-term disability, and death.
Well, you have this thing that's been called tactical infrastructure, which actually creates a lot of victims and marks a lot of people as criminals. It's a Homeland Security algorithm at the border that calculates the likelihood of somebody trying to go over the border. There's a lot of that national security now since the Trump administration. But we have to go back to 1994, prevention through deterrence. That caused more injuries and because they increased the height and the the length of border fences. I'm just wondering, from your perspective, what about a wall? I mean, will a wall really curb, do you think, this desire that people have to get across the border? And what kind of help would it be on that?
Well, clearly it hasn't done anything because the prevention through deterrence, which is the main border security strategy that we've had since 1994, had this idea that as long as we'll make crossing the border so difficult and so dangerous, people will be deterred. They will not try. But that was the wrong understanding of what makes people try to cross the border. The height of the fences has doubled since the 1990s, but that has not really discouraged anyone to go across. It's only increased the revenues for organized crime groups in Mexico, who are now controlling the more remote areas through which groups of migrants can be crossed, or who pay bribes to border authorities in some cases. So it really, as long as it doesn't do much with drug trafficking as well. It creates a sense, or like a false sense of security, but it does not really address any problems that that it is marketed as a solution for.
How would let me go back to you, Mara Novoa. How would a wall, if it is built, the kind of wall that President Trump is speaking about earlier today with Senator Schumer and Congresswoman, next speaker likely, Nancy Pelosi, what kind of impact would that have on your work and your ability to respond to fires, or even, for that matter, hazardous situations?
Well, if it's a solid wall, because we've seen a couple of designs, if you will, what we have right now, yes, we have the see-through fence. It's metal, but we actually have a double fence here in our community of Douglas, Arizona. And it's a smaller fence on the U.S. side, but there's a larger fence right on the international line. It's about 16 feet high or so. And we've had this fence actually went up in the 90s also. And this actually caused a lot of injuries. We've had some major multi-system trauma, as Ava said. Yes, it's deterred. Well, I should say it's minimized it to a point where people are actually going to the outskirts, and now they have another issue to contend with heat emergencies and cold emergencies and just environmental emergencies, period, where they're out there in the middle of nowhere. And yes, I can't speak for CBP because I don't know what their numbers are at this point in our area, especially the Tucson sector, but we have not, at Douglas Fire Department, we have lessened some of the calls that we've had. People are still going to try. They're still going to try to scale that fence. When there's a will, there's a way. And unfortunately, a fence is not going to be the end-all of end-alls of this new fabulous wall, as Trump had stated. For us, it doesn't bring any harmony between both countries. You know, sometimes, you know, they say, how do you define security? Security is, like Ava said, we have to do a major collaboration between both countries.
And Mario, could you talk a bit? You mentioned the CBP, the Customs and Border Patrol. They have a very, very different view than the EPA does, don't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, you know, we have beautiful wildlife out here, rivers, just excellent views, if you will, out here in southern Arizona. And one thing is, you know, you have to provide a national security. We all understand that we have laws. We are a nation of laws. We understand that. But at the same time, we're also human, and we also have to go ahead and understand what these plights as individuals are going through. Not to sound like somebody who's just got his heart on the sleeve, but, you know, we have a duty to act. And the thing is that we get along just fine with CBP. We get along just fine with all our law enforcement agencies in our county and in our state. If they need us, we will show up. We will not discriminate against anyone who needs our help, regardless of their immigration status, regardless of what they have done. You know, yes, they'll have security and everything else, but we have a duty to act, and we will provide the same exact care that everyone else gets. If these people are injured or need assistance from us, we will provide it. No ifs, ands, or buts. We have a duty to act.
And we're talking about that binational cooperation as well as national security measures that are in the process probably of changing, maybe even somewhat as we speak. But, you know, we've done programs on this before. We've had some of those CBP officers on the air with us and others who have brought up the fact that many of these people are just deported, and then it's kind of a mystery as to what happens, or they wind up in the desert and they wind up as skeletons in the desert. It's a tragic process, and it's one that really has to become reckoned with. I'm going to invite you, our listeners, to join this conversation. And in fact, we'd like to hear from you, your thoughts or any questions you might have. Our toll-free number, 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post questions or comments on our website at kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQED Forum. Mario, can you explain what Border 2020 is? You were former co-chair of that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, just to elaborate, yes, this is a program that started back in the early 80s with President Ronald Reagan and President La Madrid from Mexico, and they signed this accord to actually help both communities, all the communities along the U.S.-Mexican border.
And I should mention, this is when there was a lot of free movement for seasonal work and all the rest of it.
Yes. That is correct, and I know times have changed. Boy, have we ever seen it down here. However, this program has actually evolved. It used to be mainly hazmat, if you will, for hazmat responses, and you're right, for agriculture because of the pesticides that we use and everything else, and, of course, mining. We have a lot of mines still in Sonora, here in just south of Arizona, if you will, as a state in Mexico, that they still provide a lot of mining, if you will. There's numerous mines, but we do have a lot of hazardous materials that do cross and through our international borders, and also are on a constant roadway, if you will, just a few miles south of our international border here. And this is where it started. However, it's evolved into an all-hazards approach, not necessarily just hazmat. This is now an all-hazards approach. And just to give you guys a couple of examples, February of 2018, as a matter of fact, this year, we actually had a major propane leak, 21,000-gallon tank here in the city of Douglas that was breached. And it turns out that, you know, we were expecting the worst. We had to do major evacuations for our city. We actually had to contact state and, of course, local law enforcement for support to and, of course, for the evacuations. But we also had to notify our Mexican counterparts and get them ready also for this. They had to evacuate certain sections of their city, and we had to reroute traffic into our international port of entry to make sure that we kept our community safe. It was that binational effort of us working together with that collaboration that we had no injuries after the actual event itself. During the event or the initial phase of the event, yes, we had injuries because of the accident that occurred, but nothing else after the actual incident because of the collaboration that we had with both sides of the border.
And again, Mario Novoa is fire chief of the Douglas Fire Department. They're located in Arizona. I want to get to your calls here, but a quick question for you, if I may, Yeva Yosanita. Professor Yosanita, do you think... I believe you have said on a number of occasions that you don't believe the statistics, or you're skeptical about them, that fewer Mexicans are coming up north now looking for work. I mean, that seems to be the wisdom. That seems to be the data that's being put out officially by the American government. More Mexicans are leaving this country, going back to Mexico, than there are coming in here. Why are you skeptical about that?
I'm not skeptical about this fact, but obviously the demographics of migrants and refugees have changed. So I completely agree that we are seeing fewer Mexican nationals coming to the U.S. We see more Central Americans right now. And even looking at the historical numbers of apprehensions that the Customs and Border Protection provides. It used to be a million or over a million in the early 2000s, and now it's, I think last fiscal year it was only about 400,000. But the thing is, my skepticism is about what these numbers really show. These numbers only show the apprehensions, so they do not show the earlier this year, the Government Accountability Office released a report where they say that Customs and Border Protection does not even have metrics to assess whether their border enforcement operations contribute to border security, what offenses contribute to border security, because just apprehensions don't show the amount of people or the number of people that are trying to come, how many of them succeed to come and are unaccounted for. So it's really, it just tells one side of the story of how many people get in touch or are eventually apprehended by the CBP.
I'm also glad that you made the distinction you did, because there are obviously more people coming from Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras, and Mexico is a separate. Do you have much confidence in the new head of Mexico, in Lobo Obrador?
Well, if not optimism, then what? It hasn't. The situation in Mexico hasn't been very good on a number of levels, and one of them has been violent crime, especially last year. López Obrador is trying to address the crisis of migration that his country is facing as well, offering more worker permits. He sent his representative to Tijuana on the first day that he took office. So we are seeing some signs that he will be interested in engaging with that. I also wanted to add to something that Chief Navoa was saying about these hazardous materials emergencies, or how the communities are really linked closely together. So earlier, I think maybe just last week or a couple of weeks ago, the Border 2020 released a report about air pollution. And one of the main reasons of air pollution is the long lines that trucks idling while they are waiting to enter the United States. They release a lot of toxic materials into the air. But those are the ports of entry through which most of our vegetables and fruits and a lot of other materials are coming into the country. So while the ports of entry are understaffed and there are long lines of waiting, that increases health hazards. So it's just a different way of looking at what makes life, what contributes to well-being of people who actually know and live in the borderlands, as opposed to just thinking and projecting all kinds of fears and solutions onto this remote region that has no. That people often have no lived experience of.
All right, I want to bring our callers aboard here, and we begin with a caller from Belmont. Larry, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael. Thank you so much for taking my call. I really love your program and listen to it as much as I can. I really appreciate hearing this program, and I love hearing people talk about the humanitarian necessity of helping people out, and appreciate that from the point of view of what it is that we stand for. At the same time, I think we need to talk about the U.S.'s obligation. Not only is it wonderful of us to help these people out coming to our border, but we have an obligation there because we have a long history of supporting suppressive regimes in Central America with the bananas, with four different businesses, the bananas, the shoe industry, coffee industry, and the gun running industry under Reagan. And we have supported regimes which have created conditions that are driving these people to our border. We have a responsibility.
Larry, I thank you for that. We'll let it stand as an editorial comment. It's an important one. We've talked about a need for a Marshall Plan to perhaps make up for previous American foreign policies in that part of the world. I wanted to also mention, for those of you who read the Huffington report, the Huffington News, there was something about an inspector general that was Huffington Post, I'm sorry, just wasn't coming to me that moment. Apparently, the Trump administration paid close to $4 million, $3.6 million, to hire border agents, two border agents. I just want to get this in here because we're talking about really unnecessary expenses and all the money that is being spent when we're talking about economics here. This is about a goal of, about $7,500 to be spent over the next 5 years, and already hit almost $4 million in that fashion with acupuncture. They're a Dublin-based company. So you can see this in the Huffington Post, and I just wanted to get that in there and get another caller in here, and that's Judy from Davis. Judy, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I was wondering if you could look at this in a sort of a different perspective. How about this as being a jobs program? Look at the number of corporations that are involved in detention centers, building the wall, putting law enforcement people down there, and all of that kind of stuff. This base has been years have been a jobs program, basically. It doesn't have much to do with illegals crossing the border. It has a lot more to do with providing jobs for major corporations in this country. So if you could find a way to dig down and figure out how this occurs and what's going on, seems to me that if you looked at that, it would be revelatory.
Judy, I thank you for that. And Professor Yusinita, let me get you to respond as we got less than about a minute and a half left here. But you're the anthropologist and social studies professor. What about jobs here?
It's a very good comment, and obviously border security is a big business, not only for construction companies that provide the materials, also both the Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection employs a lot of people. The problem is of where the priorities are. So the Customs and Border Protection do need more agents at ports of entry to process people who want to come in here for commerce, for school, as opposed to people who just walk the desert to apprehend one or two migrants on their shift. So, and there are those numbers. They are actually not able to find as many people as they would need on the books.
We will leave it there. We thank you, Ieva Yusinita, probably the only American professor of Lithuanian descent who's bilingual with Spanish. Appreciate your being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And Mario Novoa, thank you for being with us. Mario Novoa is fire chief of the Douglas Fire Department in Arizona. Good to have you aboard.
Thank you. You guys have a great day.
And you too. And that to listeners as well. Hope you do indeed have a great day today. Thank you for being a part of this forum program this morning for all of us. And you can continue this discussion on our website, kqed.org/forum. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.